tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
I'm moving on, not looking back. I'm
He loves you the same. Oh, won't you come with me?
Oh, won't you come with me?
Just call out His name.
Just call out His name.
Say, I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
Say, I have decided.
I have decided.
I'm following.
To do this, it's called This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My troubles are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, I can know I have no fear like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Savior, pardon me, and now onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, to know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home.
Thank you, Martina. Martina McBride, my little Opry sister. That's great, Martina.
Good morning, everyone. I know it's not morning everywhere, but here in the United States it is. And so I want to wish everybody a good morning or afternoon or whatever may be the case for you. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a wonderful week, and I hope you're ready for an inspirational message on living without regrets on today's show. Before we start today's message, I want to open this up in prayer. So if you'd like to join me at this time, please let us all bow our heads and join in union to prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You on this day, asking for Your guidance in all matters of our life and a hedge of protection around each of us and our families. We live in a dangerous world, a world full of darkness, evil, and temptation. Oh, Father, please forgive us for our sins and help us to forgive others with the same measure of forgiveness that You show us. Father, we pray that You would lead us away from temptation and deliver us from all evil. We pray for Your provision, Father, and wisdom. We pray for our hearts to be softened to feel Your presence. We pray for ears to be wide open to hear Your word. Provide us with clarity and patience too. Oh, Father, please reveal Yourself to us in a mighty way. Regret comes late, and by then You can't turn back the clock of time. Oh, Father, please convict us of our unrighteousness so that we may not stray from Your path, therefore finding the peace and joy abounding in You. May we choose to do the right thing the godly thing, so that we can live the life you created us to live, so that we may live without regret. And when the time comes when our old age has set in, and it's finally time for us to leave our earthly bodies behind, we can look back on this time on earth and say, no regrets. Oh, Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for every blessing received and for protecting us from our own foolish ways and wants. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Hey, I want to thank all of you out there for joining me in that opening prayer today before we got started. And I apologize right off the bat if my voice sounds nasally or if you hear some silence or in between times today, because I've had a cold for the last 2 days. And so I'm still kind of struggling with that with my voice if it sounds a little funny. But hang in there with me and we'll get through this together. Here's something I want you to think about for a moment. We don't get to choose the day we are born or the day that we die. The only thing that we could choose is how we live the time that we have between those two dates. Ask yourself, are you really living today? Are you just existing? Imagine being told today that you are dying. Now really, take a minute to think about that, folks. Think about that. Imagine being told that you were going to do today, to die today. And then ask yourself, what would you change about your life knowing it was all coming to an end? Knowing time is limited, would you spend more time with your children or your parents, your spouse, your friends, your siblings, and less time working? Would the things you take for granted and ignore now become more important to you? Would you spend more time doing what you want to do and less time doing what you think you have to do? Would you spend more time loving your significant other and your children? Would you make sure that they knew what they meant to you? Would you refuse to spend any of that precious time fighting? Would you take that vacation? If you realize that time was of the essence, would you make that call to a friend or a relative that you're upset with or that you're not speaking to? Would putting it off still make any sense at all? Would having peace and forgiving suddenly become more important than being right or standing your ground? What kind of memories have you made with loved ones? How would you be remembered? Would the memories of you be good ones? If your time was up soon, what memories would you purpose yourself to make now without waiting one more moment? You might be telling yourself that there's still time. But here's the thing, folks. Tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. Yesterday is gone forever, and today is all we have. Don't wait until you're dying to decide to really live or to make changes in your life now so that you live with fewer regrets. You know, the things that impact our life forever. Life is a gift. Treasure today like it's your last day, because it really could be. What do you think about what I just said? Does that ring home for any of you in the listening audience? Do you have unfinished business that you've been holding off taking care of, making right with? Did you know that the 5 top regrets of dying is: I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself. The courage to live a life true to God. And not living the life that others expected of me. Or a life dictated by the things of this world. The things of this world will pass away. But the things from above, heaven, those are eternal. I wish I'd lived my dreams. I wish I had lived according to God's word. Most people don't even honor half of their dreams and have to die knowing that the way they lived their life was due to the choices they made or did not make. And these choices that we make in life will ultimately be faced on Judgment Day. Is our name written in God's book? Did we do all the things in life that we were meant to do? Did we live out our purpose? Did we even know what our purpose is? Did we live with joy and peace the days of our lives? Or did we live with torment and struggle? When we are younger, we are really clueless, folks. We think we know it all. But then when we get older, we realize that we really didn't know anything. As we age comes wisdom, that health brings a freedom that very few realize when they're young, until we no longer have it. And then we ask ourselves, why did we abuse our bodies so much when we were younger? Why didn't we realize what would come later? Don't you wish that you could have the wisdom of a 90-year-old? The look of your youth in your 20s or 30s, and the energy of a 3-year-old, how great that would be, right? Wow. But this is why it is so important to make the most of each of your days, and to take good care of yourself while there is still time to do so. Things start to change with your body in the 40s and the 50s that are beyond our control. I wish I'd had a different attitude and a better understanding of all of this when I was younger. Perhaps I would have done things a little bit differently. Perhaps you would have too. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. You know, these are some of the top 5 things, you know, that people say as they get older, the regrets that they have. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Most people in their senior years say with regret, I missed my children's youth and my partner's companionship. Perhaps now you're even a widow, having lost your companionship altogether. How sad, having wasted so much time on the treadmill of life and not living the life God meant you to have. And then, I wish I had the courage to have expressed my feelings. Many people tend to suppress their feelings, thinking they're protecting themselves from this world. As a result, many live mediocre lives and develop illnesses relating to the bitterness and the resentment that they carried throughout their lives. And then this one, how about, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Many people don't realize the benefits of staying close to their friends, staying in touch. Many people become so caught up in their own lives that they let those golden friendships slip away over time. There are many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and the effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. I wish I'd let myself be happier. I wish I hadn't made the wrong choice I made. I wish I hadn't hurt all those people. I wish I had been nicer to people. I wish I had loved and helped more people. I wish I hadn't turned my back on those people. I wish I hadn't given in to my temptations. I wish I hadn't cursed all the time. I wish I hadn't lived my life with so much anger and jealousy and pride and greed and bitterness, resentment, hatred, and prejudice. I wish I had children because now I feel so alone. I wish, I wish, I wish. Many times people don't realize that happiness is a choice. Life is about choices. Perhaps you wish you had stayed with the person you are married to. Or perhaps you regret having stayed stuck in relationships, or old habits, or old patterns. Perhaps you long for a relationship with God, but you think that you've done so many bad things. Too many bad things to be accepted by God. But it's never too late. We all sin. We just all sin differently. So no matter what you have done, God is waiting for you to ask Him into your heart. Believe me, God will accept you at any time in your life, no matter how young or how old you are. And God will accept you with loving arms wide open. And the angels will rejoice at your decision. And then, let's think about this. I wish I hadn't been afraid to try new things. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflows in our emotions, as well as our physical lives. Fear of change has paralyzed us so that reaching out and doing something different with our lives seems impossible, seems too scary. We pretend to ourselves and to others that we are content where we are, when deep within, we long to laugh that belly laugh from deep within our hearts and our souls, our bodies. We long for silliness in our lives. Press forward and onward to better things in store for our lives. Think about this for a moment, folks. What are some of your biggest regrets so far? And what will you set out to achieve? To do differently from this moment on until the moment you pass from this earth as we know it. In the end, we regret the chances that we didn't take, the choices we made or that we didn't make, for good or bad, decisions that we waited too long to make, relationships we were afraid to have or to mend, including having spent all or some of the days of our lives not having a solid and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Perhaps we didn't even know Christ, and yet the day will come when we will all have to give an account to God for why not? Why not? Perhaps we know God and have strayed away. Maybe we are straddling the fence between light and dark, but we know, knowing better, we still continue to do it anyway. And we justify to ourselves why it's okay. Most obstacles melt away. God works everything through for our greater good. But are we doing our part? Are we living in God's Word? I have regrets about my past. I have contacted different ones that I hurt in my past, and I've asked their forgiveness. I've admitted I was wrong. But you know what one of my biggest regrets is? It is the regret that I didn't live my life for Jesus so much sooner in my life. I sometimes try to imagine what my life would have been like, or how differently it would look today, if I had lived my life, my whole life, for God from the very beginning. I wasn't raised up in a church. I had no background knowledge. I was blessed to have met my first husband when I was 15 years old. His family was a very good Christian family, and they were the ones that introduced me to church, to God. But for the first half of my life, I was in and out of a relationship with God, and perhaps you can relate to that as well. I thought I was trying to take it seriously, but something always came up and I allowed myself to be led astray. Some of you are very fortunate to have been raised up with a Christian family from birth, and I believe it makes it so much easier for someone to begin learning the Word of God when they are still babies. But many of you, like me, have had to learn most everything in life the hard way, by trial and error. I used to be a very stubborn and independent person back in those days. People tried to advise me on different things in my life, but I wouldn't listen. I thought I knew it all, and if I didn't, then I had to learn it for myself instead of just hearing about it from someone else. And looking back on those younger years of my life, I made a lot of poor choices, trying to do things on my own power instead of doing things God's way. Back then, I really didn't know better. And that's not an excuse. Perhaps I just didn't think about it that much. Living as God tells us frees us from many later regrets. God knows this, and there is so much to be said in the Bible about this topic. Most of us do have some regret. Some of these regrets may affect not only us, but others. It may also affect our family and our friends. Sometimes people's choices take them or someone else to the hospital. Sometimes our choices may take us to jail. Some choices can cause you to lose a career, a marriage, a friendship. Some can cost you your very soul. Some, tragically, accidentally, or purposely, can even cause our own death. While yet other choices may lose us our children, our reputation, our health. It can be literally anything and everything in our life. Is there any way we can avoid such calamity? Of course there is. We have free will. God gave us free will. We are human. We're going to look back and see things that we wish we had done differently. And regret usually comes in two varieties. The things we regret we did, and the things that we regret we didn't do. As for regretting things, some are immediately obvious. Sometimes, however, it takes time to realize that we did wrong. Regrets generally stem from poor choices followed by more similar poor actions or a lack of action. So how do we avoid these pitfalls? For believers, it is simple. Know and obey the law of God. God instructs us in the perfect way to live, the way that will produce happiness and peace of mind. Living as God tells us frees us from many later regrets. God knows there are things that we should and should not do in life in order to have a happy life. But He gave us free will. Let's take a closer look at a few of the biblical verses that will prevent regret if you take heed and obey them. And there's a lot more in the Bible, but I just chose out a few. Obeying God's command of, "You shall not commit adultery," in Exodus 20:14. That verse, if you obeyed it, if you listened to it, if you took heed to it, could spare many marriages and families much suffering and immeasurable regret. Obeying God's command to flee from sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians 6:18 would eliminate the shame and the regret of premarital sex. Such choices and regrets may last a lifetime and may even produce an unplanned pregnancy or even a sexually transmitted disease. In Genesis 9 and 19, the Bible shows us some of the perils of drinking excessively. In Proverbs 20:1, God tells us, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Many lives may have been saved from ruin and many problems averted if alcohol had not been abused. The Bible repeatedly cautions us to be careful in what we say. In James, just one example, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Choosing our words carefully can prevent later regrets. failing to be more diligent at work or school can lead to later regrets, as can failing to step out and try something new in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, God tells us, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might." Working diligently produces results. Working hard at school for a better grade can lead to a better scholarship and later on, hopefully a better job. Trying something new can open up new opportunities in your life. And who knows where that road might lead to. God gives us encouragement all throughout the Bible. When we seek to live according to God's law and His way of life, He promises to help us. In Joshua 1:9, God tells us, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord of your God is with you wherever you go." Throughout the Bible, God tells us, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." The Bible, God's law and instruction for our life, teaches us how to live happily and avoid later regrets. The laws of God are not given to prevent us from having fun. The exact opposite is true. God does not want anyone to suffer regret from wrong or poor choices. He wants us to live our life to the fullest with joy and peace. That is why He gives us very specific guidelines for a way of life that produces happiness and peace. You've probably heard people say, "Life doesn't come with instructions. You learn it as you go." But anyone who says that doesn't know God, doesn't know the Bible. Because the Bible is the instruction manual for our lives. And just as similar to Deuteronomy 30:19, where God talks about setting before us the choice of life and death, blessings and cursings, and that He wants us to choose life, we also have the choice between a life with fewer regrets or a life that will cause many regrets. And as you're pondering over the first part of today's message, I'm going to go ahead to a short break. And this first song I want to do is a special request. And I do hope I have the right song, because if it's not, I sincerely apologize, and the person will have to set me straight on this so that I can get it correct the next time. So here is a very special song for a very special friend. It goes out to Muddy Mudman out there. And the song is "He's My Son."
Down on my knees again tonight. I'm hoping this prayer will turn out right. See, there is a boy that needs your help. I've done all that I can do myself. His mother is tired. I'm sure you can understand. Each night as he sleeps, she goes in to hold his hand, and she tries not to cry as the tears fill her eyes. Can you hear me? Am I getting through tonight? Times late at night I watch him sleep. I dream of the boy he'd like to be. I try to be strong and see him through. Who he needs right now is you. Let him grow old. Live life without this fear. What would I be living without him here? He's so tired and he's scared. Let him know that you're there. Can you hear me? Am I getting through tonight? Can you see him? Can you make him feel alright? You can hear me. Let me take his place.
Myself from blaming you.
funny thing. I figured out I can sing now. I'm not who I was. I write about love and such. Maybe 'cause I wanted so much. I'm not who I was. I was thinking maybe I should let you know. I am not the same, but I never did forget your name. Hello. Most amazing, an amazing grace is the chance to give it out. Maybe that's what love is all about. I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me on the Hope Show today. I'm so happy to be with you wherever you are today, whether it be in your home or your car or wherever. Maybe you're just jogging down the street or whatever. But anyway, I am so happy to be with you today. It's such a pleasure and a great honor to have you tuned in to the Hope Show to hear the Word of God each week. God works in some pretty amazing ways, doesn't He? Thank you, Jesus, for all those that tune in each week. And if you're just tuning in, today's message is about living without regrets. I bet every one of us out there have some regret over something in our life, and maybe more than one regret. If you've missed out on the first part of the message and you want to listen to all of it, or if you have a friend that you think would really enjoy and or benefit from hearing today's message, each week after the message has concluded, The Hope Show is uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com. Go to that link and search for the pod pages for Hope by Beverly, and then you can scroll down to whichever date you would like to listen to. It's as simple as that. Please, I encourage you to share my pods with your family, your friends, your coworkers, etc. Let's get God's Word and truth to as many people as possible. Everyone can benefit from a little encouragement and inspiration. However, I do not take any credit for the Hope Show. This is all about God's Word, God's truth. On my own power, I am not qualified to do these messages by myself. But with God, all things are possible, and God equips the unqualified, and so those that He wants to use for His purpose. Let us get on with today's message. So what do you think the best way to live without regret would be? Here are a few suggestions that I came up with. Choose to live in such a way that you do your best in every task, situation, circumstance, and in every relationship. Choose to trust God in every area of your life, every decision, every choice, every opportunity He sends your way. Choose to obey God, keep His commandments. Choose to forgive others fully and freely. Choose to pursue what God reveals to you as His path for you to follow. Choose to treat others as you yourself would want to be treated. Choose to love people. And choose your words very carefully. Listen, slow to speak. Use patience and self-control. Be slow to anger. In order to do these things, or even other things that I didn't mention, you must acquire wisdom. How do we do that? The most obvious source of God's wisdom comes from the Bible. You cannot honestly think of even one question or life circumstance about which you cannot find the answer to your question in the Bible. God's Word is not silent. His principles for right character, conduct, and conversation apply to every situation and decision that we human beings are confronted with on a daily basis. We are all able to recall times in our life when we didn't respond wisely. Those incidents can most likely be traced back to one of two possibilities. Either we didn't know a certain biblical principle, or we knew the principle, but decided to ignore it anyway. To ensure that we are familiar with God's truth, we really need to dig into it. Dig into His Word every day. Spend time in fellowship with God, spending time in prayer. And let me throw out an example. Suppose you walk into an office at work and a coworker starts to verbally assault you for something you didn't do. You're undeservingly blamed for a costly mistake. Your flesh and the world would have you respond in kind with anger, perhaps even revenge. But Luke 6:27 through 29 offers a different approach, gives a different suggestion. Perhaps it might go something like this. After you've listened to him or her verbally assault you, just be quiet, you know, just with a soft, gentle voice. Just ask, is there anything else? Thank you for telling me how you feel. If that would be all, I have some work to do. It's hard. It's hard, folks, to be that calm when the human part of us wants to get angry and fly off the handle at someone. But two wrongs don't make a right. And when you raise your voice at someone else, they're going to continue to raise their voice, and before you know it, the whole situation is just out of control. Knowledge comes from learning biblical principles. Wisdom has to do with applying them. The Lord cautions us to keep His Word in our heart and in our heads so that we will listen to His instruction. Wisdom is acquired as we pursue the truth, pursue living a godly life, absorbing Scripture, doing what it says and observing the results. Sometimes the consequences don't look very favorable, but we must understand that it is for our own good. You don't have to take special classes to acquire wisdom. All God wants is for us to have obedient hearts and a willing spirit. I found a quote from an unknown author, and here's what it says. The saddest summary of life contains three descriptions. Could have, might have, and should have. How true is that? It's very true. I want to list off a few more suggestions for living with fewer regrets. Realize that we all fall short of the glory of God, folks. We all fail. We all sin. Nobody is perfect. We are human. We make mistakes. Just make sure that you learn from them. Seek repentance. Forgive yourself and move on. Our bodies are God's temple. We must filter out the contaminants of body, soul, and spirit. And by contaminants, I mean, you know, hanging around with friends that don't necessarily agree with your beliefs, you know. Hanging around in the wrong places with the wrong people, or media is really bad. Television, radio. You could be sucked up into a lot of things, and your mind can be persuaded in ways that it shouldn't be. And so you have to filter out those contaminants, you know. Sometimes you have to let go of friendships, you know, or not necessarily let go of them, but they're just not the primary people that you hang out with anymore. You want to hang out with positive people, people that are going to lift you up and keep you on the right path, and those that, instead of those that might cause you to stumble. And so that's what I mean by contaminants. Get rid of anything that does not serve God. Make your health and wellness a priority. If you care for yourself properly, then you will be ready to take care of others. And like I said a moment ago, change your social habits. Be careful who you associate with. unbelievers and believers think differently. And you don't want to stumble or be the cause of someone else stumbling. Befriend positive and like-minded, similar goal-oriented people to hang out with. Have you heard the saying that you become what you associate with, or the negativity you allow in your life? It's true. Think about that for a moment. Think about some of your friends or even your spouse. Is it not true that if you spend long amounts of time with someone, you start to behave and think like them? Yes? It's true. Human nature mimics what it associates with. Your body follows what is in the mind. Find humor in life. Don't always take life so seriously. Relax more. Learn to be adventurous, but in a good, clean, wholesome, godly way. Embrace your creativity and the talents that God gave you, and share this with other people. Don't keep it all for yourself. Find joy and happiness in all of God's blessings, great and small. And be happy with what you have, and do not try to covet what your neighbor has. Do not judge people. You cannot help them with the plank. You can't help someone with the plank in their eye as long as you are not willing to acknowledge the log in your own. Everyone has a history, but it is not our place to pass judgment. That's God's job to take care of at a much later date. Love everyone, even the ones who seem the least lovable. And pray for others. Pray for favor and blessing, protection, guidance, and wisdom, provision, patience, forgiveness. Pray for your enemies too. That's probably one of the most difficult things to do, pray for your enemies. But that's what God tells us to do. Love everyone and pray for them. Rejoice, even during the tough times, because they are learning experiences and they're character builders. Don't try to change someone. Pray for God to work in their lives. Use your energy wisely. Stop complaining, worrying, or being impatient, because it's only a waste of time and energy, and life is too short. Be bold. Be courageous. Stand up for the truth, God's word. Stand firm and strong to your beliefs. Turn your discontent to joy and thanksgiving. Don't try to solve your problems on your own power and in your own time. That never works. Give it to God and let Him handle it. I want to share with you some of the verses from the Bible about regret. And some of these I may have already spoken of in the message, but they're good, so I'm going to say them again. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God tells us that if we tell Him about what we have done, sometimes we won't know we have done something against God. But we must tell God right away and ask that He forgive us for the things that we know that we have done wrong, and even for the things that we don't know we've done wrong. And He will cleanse us from it, and it's not to be brought up again. Move forward. Move on. In Joel 2:25, God speaks to us about saying, I will restore you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. In Romans 8:28, He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to His purpose. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, God says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And I want to add to that. There is a season for everything. But those seasons don't last forever, folks. And this too shall pass. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:10 and 11, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, folks, I love that one. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. In Luke 13:24-28, such a powerful verse. It really makes you really stop and think, and it tells us, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. I do not know you. And then you will begin to say, we ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. Wow! What do you think of that? God has spoken very clearly here, folks. I could go on and on with more verses about regret. The Bible is filled with instruction on this matter. But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and stop for another moment and go to break. And so, stretch your legs, folks. Fill your cups with something to drink. And meet me back here in a few moments for more on this message. And the first song I'm going to play is Beautiful, Beautiful.
Don't know how it is you looked at me and saw the person that I could be.
the end of my strength. I fall upon the kindness of your grace. Lord, I know that you are good. You came to rescue me. So please hear my humble plea. Save me, Lord, save me. I am nowhere else to go. Lord, I trust in you alone to save me, my Savior. I call on your name, Jesus, save me. In desperate need of mercy, at the end of my
everyone. Thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. If you are just tuning in, today's message is Living Without Regret. I would imagine that we all have regrets about one thing or another in our past life. Maybe we regret something we did, or perhaps we regret not doing something when we had the opportunity. Sometimes the memory of these regrets can haunt us for a very long time. Sometimes the memory, they just linger on. Can any of you relate to that? But regret is our enemy. It does not come from God, but instead it comes from Satan. Satan's job is to steal our peace and our joy, and having regrets is one good way of doing that. How many of my listening audience can relate to feeling like your regrets are haunting you like a ghost from your past? They just keep lingering in the back of your mind. Some days you don't think about them at all. Days and weeks may go by, But then one day, when you least expect it, something will trigger a memory, and you will feel the full brunt of your regret. It used to be like that for me. It used to be that I would fall asleep, and in the middle of the night, not every night, perhaps once a month, I would awaken with the full weight of some of my regrets on my shoulders, and it was so painful. It would bring tears to my eyes. I would feel such sorrow for some of the things that I have done, most specifically how I had hurt some people in my life. I would find it hard to go back to sleep. Sometimes I'd be driving down the road with not a care in the world, not even thinking about anything like that. And Satan would drop it in my lap like a ton of bricks. It would rob my joy and my peace and my hope. Eventually, as I got older, drawing closer to God, I gave all my regrets to Him and I asked His forgiveness for my sins. I called the people that I had wronged and I admitted after some 20 years, folks, that I was wrong and that I was so sorry. I owned my mistakes. And I asked their forgiveness for my selfishness and for the heartbreak that I had caused them. It was one of the most toughest things I have ever done, calling those individuals after such a long, long time, dredging up those old wounds and making amends. But it was the beginning of a healing process for both myself and for those that were involved. And today, our relationships are better for it. It takes a lot of courage, folks, to go back in your past and tell people that you made a mistake, that you acknowledge the wrong, and that you want to ask their forgiveness. But I want to add that I don't ever regret having done so. I freed myself from that bondage of regret that held me in its grip for so long. Does that mean that I never think about those things anymore? Absolutely not. Sometimes I still think about it. It still comes to mind in my sleep. But I am no longer under its influence. Those regrets no longer control me anymore. I am not who I used to be, folks, and neither are you. I don't live in my past. And you shouldn't either. I am a child of God, and so are you. I asked for God's forgiveness. I repented. And it's a done deal. End of story. Move on. Many of you need to follow my example. I guarantee it will be a huge weight coming off of your shoulders. The day you turn it over to God and you leave that past in the past, we are all a glorious work in progress, and God isn't done with any of us yet. In Romans 8:1, God tells us, "There is, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Going right along with this verse, I want to read what the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary has to say about this. Believers may be chastened of the Lord, but will not be condemned with the world. Be their union with Christ through faith, that they are thus secure. What is the principle of their walk? The flesh or the spirit, the old or the new nature, corruption or grace. For which of these do we make provision? By which are we governed? The unrenewed will is unable to keep any commandment fully. And the law, besides outward duties, requires inward obedience. God showed hatred of sin by the sufferings of His Son in the flesh, that the believer's person might be pardoned and justified. Thus satisfaction was made to divine justice, and the way of salvation opened for the sinner. By the Spirit of the law of love is written upon the heart, and though the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by us, yet blessed be God. It is fulfilled in us There is that in all true believers which answer the intention of the law. The favor of God, the welfare of the soul, the concerns of eternity, and the things of the Spirit, which those that are after the Spirit do mind. Which way do our thoughts move with most pleasure? Which way go our plans? Are we most wise for the world or for our souls? Those that live in pleasure are dead. A sanctified soul is a living soul. In that life is peace. The carnal mind is not only an enemy to God, but a feeling of bitter hatred itself. The carnal man may, by the power of divine grace, be made subject to the law of God, but the carnal mind never can. That must be broken and driven out. We may know the real state and character by inquiring whether we have the Spirit of God in Christ or not. In Romans 8:9, the Bible says, "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Having the Spirit of Christ means having a turn of mind in some degree. Link the mind that was in Christ Jesus and is to be shown by a life and a conversation that is suitable to Jesus' precepts and examples. But now let's back up for a moment. Let's define the enemy. We all know what the word regret means, but I looked it up, the definition of it up anyway. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, regret is defined as sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond the control or power to repair. Yet I also noted that repent is a synonym for regret. I guess that would make sense after all. It's the same thing to feel regretful and repentant over something we've said or we've done. But from a Christian point of view, there is a contradiction between the definition of regret that's in the Webster's Dictionary and the synonym for repent. The definition for regret states that it is beyond our control or power to repair. And yet the Bible repeatedly tells us that repentance is the power to repair. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, Apostle Paul wrote, "The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces spiritual, emotional, and even physical death." So this brings me to the part that ties in with what I said earlier about myself and my own regrets. And that is in 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We will get to the place where our regrets no longer have the power to control our emotions. We'll begin to put them into perspective by understanding how God is making good result from our failures. However, I believe that many of us won't release these feelings of regret because we wrongly believe that to feel regret is to be repentant. Yet the Bible tells us that the believer's life is a spiritually and emotionally abundant life, a life of joy and peace and hope. These uplifting things that sustain us through even the most difficult trials cannot possibly coexist with the feelings of guilt and regret and despair. The Bible tells believers that our old nature is at war with our new nature. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." The Bible also tells us that Satan is the accuser in Revelation 12:10. and that he attempts to negatively influence our mind, our will, and our emotions through people and other ways. Think about this, folks. But regardless of what the source is, it's clear that the last thing that the negative source, Satan, wants is for regretful thoughts to provoke thanksgiving to God. So the most powerful weapon, folks, are you following me? The most powerful weapon against any negative source of any kind is God. God is the powerful weapon. Our sure foundation. Our comfort. Our refuge. We need to form habits of thanking God for forgiving us of the things that we regret every time a regret comes to our mind. Once you form these new habits, the power these regrets have to cause you sadness and feelings of shame and condemnation will begin to diminish, and you will start to see your past in a whole new perspective. God's perspective. Fellow brothers and sisters, if we are allowing our regrets to affect our joy and our peace and our hope, His grace is proving to be in vain for us. We are essentially telling Jesus that His suffering and His death wasn't enough to take away our former sins and mistakes. Folks, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's time to start living. It's time to let those regrets go. In Philippians 3:13 and 14, the Bible tells us, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are right now, right this moment, and you can change the ending." The last final thing that I want to leave you with today is, after everything else I've mentioned in today's message, you've repented to God. God has forgiven you. But how do you forgive yourself? And forgiving yourself is essential. We humans have a tendency to hold ourselves more accountable than we do others. Perhaps you can more easily justify forgiving someone else than you can forgiving yourself. Perhaps you believe that forgiving yourself isn't even an option because you think that you must hold on in a constant state of remembrance lest ye forget. Perhaps you believe that there is a price, some sort of form of lifelong penance that you must pay. Let us look at a divine example. In Jeremiah 31:34, when God forgives us, it states that He remembers our sins no more, and we should remember them no more either. This does not mean our Heavenly Father forgets, but that He chooses to forgive us. Forgive us. He chooses not to bring up our sin in a negative way ever again. Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, applying no partiality to the issues of forgiveness." God does not choose to forgive one person and yet not another. He forgives everyone who believes in Jesus Christ and comes to Him and asks for forgiveness and repents of their old ways applying this no partiality standards to ourself, is just as important to forgive ourselves as it is to forgive others. Forgiving yourself isn't about forgetting. It is about not bringing the offense up to yourself in a negative way ever again. It means being free of the bondage of regret that has held you in its grip so long. It means searching after that joy and that peace and that hope in your life. Living your life free and in such a way that God created you to live your life. Forgiving yourself is simply letting go of what you're holding against yourself so that you can move on with God. If God has moved on, shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we do the same, folks? We need to love ourselves as God loves us. We need to let it go. Move on. Create a new story in our lives. We are not who we used to be. And we are a continual work in progress. It's not to say we won't make mistakes again, because we will. But we have the trust and the faith in God. And we are a new creation. In Proverbs 16:25, the Bible says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death." Fellow brothers and sisters, the energy it takes to harbor anger, hatred, bitterness, and resentment toward yourself is exhausting. Believe me, I know. Every bit of energy we give to negative activities and dwelling on regret robs us of the energy we need to become the person God wants us to be. How do I know this? Because I lived it, and I have moved on. And so should you. That's my testimony. Life is full of choices, and every choice we make will either take us in a positive, life-giving direction, or it will rob us of the opportunity to be a life-giving person. Forgiving ourselves doesn't let us off the hook. It doesn't justify what we've done in the past. It's not a sign of weakness. Forgiveness takes courage and strength, and it gives us the opportunity to become an overcomer rather than remaining a victim of our own scorn. Fellow brothers and sisters, don't you want to be free today? Don't you want to be free? Here is something to think about. If you don't forgive yourself of past sins, did you know it's a form of pride? How many of you know that? Yes. Think about that for a moment. Let that settle into your mind. Whenever we enact a different set of rules, a higher set of standards for ourselves over others, that is pride. When we can find it without ourselves, when we can find it within ourselves to forgive others but not ourselves, we're saying that we are less capable of making a poor decision than others, and therefore somehow more intuitive, we're more wiser, more insightful, we're more careful than others. Let's be honest, folks. That's a really, really gutsy, bold, and arrogant way to behave and to think. And that kind of behavior is not of God. In Proverbs 16:18, the Bible says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." unforgiveness of oneself will bring self-destruction. But God's way of Christian forgiveness will bring peace to your life, your mind, and your soul. The reality of the matter is this. You cannot change what has happened in the past. You cannot restore lives to where they were before the event. However, you can make a difference in the lives of others today and in the future. You can give back some of what you have taken away by finding a different place to invest your time and your compassion. Forgive yourself and let that healing begin. Forgiving yourself will change the direction of your life, and your regrets will melt away. You will be free of that bondage of regret. I'd like to say a prayer right now over this message that we've received today. If any of you in the listening audience are living under the bondage of regret, please say this prayer with me right now. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand there is nothing to gain by holding myself in unforgiveness. And there is everything to gain by releasing myself from unforgiveness and beginning the process of healing. I want to move forward and make a positive difference in my future. I confess the ungodly accountability, the self-abasement, and the vows I made to never forgive myself. Because Jesus died for my sins, I choose to forgive myself now. Now, Father, now. To no longer punish myself and be angry with myself. I forgive myself for letting this hurt control me and for hurting others out of my hurt. I repent of this behavior and my attitude. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and your healing, Lord. God, help me to never again retain unforgiveness of myself or others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me and for your grace to move forward with you. And in your Son, Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for praying along with me. I hope for those who are struggling with regret, I pray that today would be the day that you would relent, that you would choose to let it go. Call those folks that you hurt. Move on. Find your peace and your joy once again. Our God is mighty to save, folks. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He never, ever once gives up on us. He casts our sins as far from the east as to the west. I'm going to take another break, and when I return, Shaziz will be joining me for the last moments of today's show. And right now, I want to play you this song from Casting Crowns, East to West.
Drowning in your sea of forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned, but today I feel like like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far?
Partner in crime is here. He was supposed to have been here for the show, and I'm not sure where he's at. Let me go ahead and play another song, but wow, folks. Wow. That song brought me to tears. What a powerful, powerful song that is. God casts our sins from as far from the east is to the west. And he asks, we ask him, and he forgives us. Oh. Trying to recapture myself here. And well, looky there. There's my partner in crime. He did arrive. Thank you for joining me here today on the Hope Show, folks. As you know, if you've been listening in today, that this message has been about living without regrets. And so now joining me here is my special guest and love of my life, Shaziz. You've been listening in on today's message. What do you have to add to this message about your thoughts on regret?
Well, only God has all the answers. We're just people that we gauge everything that we know and our truth and our beliefs on our lives and the lessons learned therein. And so one of the lessons that I've learned throughout my entire life was because of all the different people that have come and gone in my life, loved ones and friends, is that the biggest regret that I don't ever want from any of my friends ever in the future is to not have left something positive with them every time that I'm with them. So pretty much nobody gets in and out of our house without a hug. You're getting a hug on the way in, you're getting a hug on the way out. Good words of love to share with one another, because this short time that we do have on earth, for whatever reason we're here, whether it be a learning experience or just a experience of being able to experience life, it's valuable. And living your life in regrets of things, that choices that you made in the past, you know, it's like carrying a grudge, you know, or being angry at somebody for a long time. What a waste of time. It's like a boat anchor that you'll drag around with you the rest of your life. It just isn't worth it. Life is supposed to be enjoyed, as far as I'm concerned. And I believe that's the way the good Lord expected us to live. Enjoy life. He said go out and multiply and be fruitful. Take care of one another. And so, at least here in this household, we hold on to that belief that we need to keep our families and our friends close to our heart, so that if at any given time something was to go terribly wrong and we would lose them from our lives, that the last thing that we said to them was a good thing. The last bit of love and hope was our last words to them. There's been a lot of times in my life I took folks for granted and I didn't realize that they wouldn't always be there. And maybe my last words weren't very nice, or my last actions weren't very fruitful, or whatever you want to call it. That's the biggest lesson I learned in life, is that you got to, with everything you got, love your neighbors and your friends and your family and your God. You got to take care of one another. Otherwise, the alternative is what you see out there in the world, that it isn't of God.
And you have to love yourself as well. And yep. You know, you've got to love yourself and take care of yourself before you can love and take care of others. And it's so important that you do.
Well, if you're sick and if you're down, you ain't gonna be much good to nobody. And good Lord knew that. The temple there, we talk about, you know, your body, you take care of it the best you can, and you stay strong, and you stay mentally and physically and emotionally strong, not just for yourself and for a good quality of life for yourself, but so that you can be strong for those who are weak. And wisdom is part of that. You know, wherever you gather your wisdom out there in the world, we can all agree that this world really needs a touch of love. It needs a big dose of hope and peace. It needs you to, when your friends come over, give them a hug. They're going to think you're weird when you first start doing it. They're going to look at you cross-eyed. They're going to kind of, what's this all about?
You know, I even still, to this day, you know, I worked at a Casey's convenience store for 11 and a half years, and before that I worked in the banking business and different things, and you know, I've met a lot of people in my life, and through work, you know, associations and things, those people became like family to me. And you know, it's been almost 2 years since I've worked there, but when I go to our local town, you know, where I worked at, you know, I'm constantly meeting people every day that you know, I used to know and be associated with through my workplace. And, you know, even to this day, you know, they've kind of grown accustomed to it now, but in the beginning, like Shaziz said, you know, it's kind of odd for them because most people don't do this, but, you know, I'll go up to them on the street, I don't care, and I'll give them a big hug and tell them hi and how are you doing, and, you know, I'm excited to see them, and I want to know what's going on in their life, even though, you know, I've been kind of out of the loop for a while. And you know, it's really neat. One day, it's been a few weeks back, but I went into Casey's, and I probably wasn't there maybe 20 or 30 minutes. I went in to visit my daughter because she also works there. But in that short amount of time, I had four people go out of their way and come up to me and give me a big hug. And man, I came up out of there and I was feeling amazing. You know, I mean, what a blessing.
That's something that everybody should have the chance to experience, you know. You can imagine how many families would not be fighting if they would just try that, you know, for a while. You know, I said that sometimes when you start hugging your friends when they come through the door, it seems kind of awkward, but then after they get to know you long enough, it's you wear them down. It's that simple. You wear them down, and then there's times if you don't hug them on the way out the door, they come hug you, or they think something's wrong, you know. But it's not a bad thing. Smile on a brother and sister out there. If that's the least you can do, just smile on them and make their day a little bit better, and you'd be surprised how much better this world would be.
And, you know, I am such a huggy on the reverse side, on the flip side of that. I am such a huggy person. I mean, I hug all day long. I hug everybody. And I've been sick the last few weeks and with a head cold and everything. And everybody that's used to me coming up and hugging them, and, you know, and I'm having to kind of withdraw back out of respect for them. I don't want to get anybody sick, you know. I'd love to hug them. I mean, with everything within my heart wants to go racing up to them and give them that hug, but I don't want to make them sick. And so it's been a really tough couple of weeks for me because, you know, I thrive on that affection, that closeness, that personal intimacy with other people. And it's been really hard for me to step back and say, you know, I'd love to give you a hug, but I can't right now. I don't want to make you sick. So when you're used to doing that and then you can't do that, that's weird.
Well, all I know is that in our little circle of life with our children and our friends, it's a wonderful feeling. It brings us all together every single time we get there. It's like, you know, there's a hug fest on the way through the door. There's a hug fest on the way out the door. You know, some folks might be trying to rush out the door. It's too much love going on around here. I just can't take it. You know, might rather have an argument or something, but ain't getting it here. You know, we're about love in this house, and that's the way we try to lead our lives, and hopefully that will rub off on others, and they'll do it at their house, and it'll rub off on somebody else's house. And, you know, if you spread love around the world, you can't go wrong.
You know, like Shaziz said, you know, we try not to live with any regrets either. You know, if we wrong somebody, family or friends, you know, we're usually the first ones to go up back and say, you know, look, I am so sorry. I did not mean that. I wasn't thinking. Please forgive me. And sometimes people that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, where I had gone back 20 years to a few specific people, and you just don't know. I mean, sometimes that hurt lingers in them for a lifetime. And they just, sometimes there's just no closure, you know. It just keeps keeps happening and happening, and even for yourself, for your own soul. And, you know, it just, I can't tell you how much of a difference it made in my life. And I know that it made a big difference in their lives, too, to finally have that closure, to finally have me come back and say, you know, I know what I did was wrong, and I am so sorry that I hurt you. And I never meant to do that. And if I could take it all back, I would in a heartbeat. But all I can promise you is that from this day forward, I will try to never hurt you again and love you instead. You know, and for those of you out there that might find yourself in the same position that I found myself in, you know, years ago, it's difficult. It's hard, and perhaps maybe, you know, maybe someone's passed on by now, and you can't go back and have that closure, but you can give it to God, and you can ask for Him to take that away.
You can learn from your past.
Yeah.
You know, I've been down some rough roads. I was an ornery child and a wild teenager and into my young adults. I made my wrongs, you know. But the only thing I can do is I can't change yesterday, but every time that sun comes up, I sure can work towards a better tomorrow. And if that means going out and trying to, you know, help everybody and his brother in any way possible and do the things that I should have been doing all along, then, you know, for me, that's good. We're supposed to be good caretakers to one another. We're supposed to be, you know, good caretakers of the land and the animals and, you know, servants to our brothers and sisters around the world. That's what we believe in, and that's what we're trying to share with you here on this network.
You know, last night I had a chance to witness to someone in my life, and I am very blessed. I'm very fortunate to have a husband who's not jealous or anything, and that feels like he could trust me to still have relationships with those that I was married to in the past or have relationships in the past. And, you know, I know not everybody is capable of still remaining friends and loving those that you loved once, but just in a different way. But I am blessed in that respect. And last night I had a call from the gentleman that I was in a relationship with for 3 years that was an abusive relationship, and every now and then he calls me, and he will just break down, and he will admit his wrong, and he will, you know, say, I'm so sorry, I was such a bad character, and, you know, all these things. And last night, you know, that happened again. I got the call, and we were talking about different things, and he's got a lot going on in his life right now, and that was brought up again. You know, I am so sorry. I was not nice to you. I was a bad character. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I said, I forgave you. I've been with my husband Shaziz for 12 and a half years, and this man is still holding on to things that he did to me 15 years ago. And I keep telling him, I forgive you. I forgive you. I've forgiven you a long time ago. And I told him last night, I said, I've forgiven you a long time ago. It's time for you to forgive yourself and move on. I still love you. Not in the same way I love my husband, but there is love in my heart.
Well, it's easy to stop liking somebody, but as far as I'm concerned, if you ever truly love somebody, it's impossible to stop. And, you know, so with that said, you're not going to change. If somebody filled your heart at one point, you're not ever going to take that out of somebody's heart. You know, maybe things just didn't go work the way that they wanted them to, but, you know, and broke the relationship, but there's still love there, you know, and that's what makes us human. That, to me, I think, is the ultimate gift that God gave this world, was love. And if we sure use that love the way that we should have been using it all along, this would be such a wonderful place to live.
Yes, it would be. Well, it's getting about another 5 or 6 minutes till the end of the show, so it's time to wrap up today's message. And as always, it's a pleasure to be with you wherever you are, wherever you're listening in at. And it's always a pleasure to have my husband with me the last minutes of the show, and that always gives me a big blessing as well. And I want to say from the depths of my heart that Shaziz and I love all of you so much more than you could ever imagine. I hope and I pray that today's message has been a message that would change your life forever. And with that said, until next Saturday, same time, same place, may God be with you and show favor upon you and yours. And I'm going to leave us up out of here today with a song by Hillsong, and it's called All Is Well With My Soul.
Go out and smile on somebody. Give somebody a hug today.
And go say I'm sorry.